to be spending some time with an issue and a person who's very important to Arkansas and to many other folks, because this has to do with immigration reform. The issue is being debated now in the U.S. Senate and will be debated throughout Congress, and because of the importance of this issue in Arkansas, we're delighted to have Maria Wraith with us from the Executive Director of the Arkansas Coalition based in Fayetteville. Welcome, Maria.
Good morning.
What we're going to ask you to do first is just tell us what the Arkansas Coalition is so that everyone here in KBF land has a good sense of it. And then I'm going to ask you to talk about the vigil tonight first, and then we'll get into the issues.
Thank you so much, Wade. Arkansas United Community Coalition is a nonprofit, 501c3, based here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But we work in over 15 communities in Arkansas to support immigrants and their communities. And we specifically do so through finding ways to foster leadership development. And again, that's both amongst immigrants and people who care about diversity and inclusion in this state. But then we also work to build coalitions amongst the government, among other nonprofit groups, amongst individual community members who care about integration and inclusion in this state.
So as a coalition, there must be a number of organizations that are involved in your effort, Maria?
Yes, we've had up to 35 different organizations be part of our different campaigns. And the campaign that's going on right now, which is the Arkansas Keeping Families Together campaign, is working specifically on immigration reform. And we're very proud that we have about 13 partner organizations there for that one, mostly nonprofits that are working with us to really engage and help Arkansas engage on the issue of immigration reform.
And in Central Arkansas, which is a lot of where our 100,000 watts broadcast, who are some of the groups we might know?
Some of the groups down there are the Arkansas Interfaith Alliance, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, El Zocalo, which is a new nonprofit trying to provide resources to immigrants down there in downtown Little Rock. Then there's also the Arkansas Coalition for Dream that is working very hard with specifically our undocumented youth. And then in your own building, we're very proud to partner with the Arkansas Community Organization, which has been a tremendous partner in getting the word out there and supporting us on the ground with some of the organizing work.
Great organization, and Paul Kelly with Arkansas Advocates is on the board of KBF. So this is all, you know, in the family, so to speak. So what's the vigil about? Because I think that's this evening, isn't it?
That's correct. We have been working now for well over 6 months, knowing that immigration reform was going to be addressed through our policy process this year, and wanting to be able to inform that conversation by lifting up the stories of Arkansans, both immigrants and other members of our community that care about immigration and integration issues, to really make sure that the national debate also included our stories here. And in that process, we've been hosting a lot of local town hall meetings and offering information, but at the same time, working hard to directly engage our congressional delegation there in D.C., who's going to have a very critical vote on this issue. And right now, we're in a very exciting place. There is a concrete bill that's referred to as S-744, which is the Immigration Reform Bill. It's a bipartisan bill. A tough bill, not a perfect bill, but definitely a bill that we believe deserves our Arkansan support, and one that our senators from Arkansas are going to play a key role in deciding the future of this bill, especially Senator Mark Pryor, who is very much declared undecided in regards to this specific piece of legislation. So we know Senator Pryor is actually coming back to Arkansas this weekend, to Little Rock this weekend, and so we wanted to greet him Arkansas style and also acknowledge fathers, and so we decided the best way that we could do so would be through a vigil, really celebrating the faith that and the spirituality that we have as Arkansans here, and using that as an opportunity to hopefully send our prayers and our songs in the hopes that Senator Pryor and Senator Bozeman will hear about our desire to see their support for this bill, but also we're going to be lifting up the stories of some specific families that are being affected by this. We actually have some families that are going to be present there that are facing deportation this month. And we really want to stress to the whole community of Arkansas and for these brave individuals who are willing to come out and tell their story to show that this is an urgent issue. This is an Arkansas issue. This very much affects the social fabric and the economic fabric of our state. And so this is our chance while Senator Pryor's in town, and hopefully our last chance to get him before he go make that vote to show that us Arkansans are unified on this issue.
And if people wanted to join that vigil, where would they go, Mara?
They would go to the First United Methodist Church in downtown Little Rock, located at 723 Center Street. So on Center Street between 7th and 8th, there's free parking, ample parking, especially at that time of day, and we're going to be outside in the patio. So just look for the candles and the gatherings, but it is completely open to the public. And we would be very excited to extend a warm invitation to anyone who has an interest, whether it's in the issue or hearing some of these stories of Arkansans that would be affected by this legislation. We certainly extend a very cordial invitation to the public to come join us this evening. And it starts at 7 o'clock, and we anticipate that it will be done by 8:30 this evening.
Well, and from then they can carry on the vigil in their hearts and minds, and we're going to get back into this vigil before we leave each other, but let's talk a little bit about what our delegation is facing and what we need to do to make sure they do the right thing. I saw some good news, a poll that just came out this week says that people in the state are solidly behind the Senate Bill 744. Frank Sherry's outfit, American's Voice, and the Arkansas for Jobs and Immigration Reform Group released a bunch of great numbers. As the majority of Arkansas voters, 78%, agree that Congress needs to pass a package, and that 67% believe that they strongly support the bipartisan bill. I'm sure you've seen these numbers, and this must have been great news.
This is excellent news and very much coincides with what we had been hearing. And we're very proud that specific campaign that Arkansans for Employment and Immigration Reform is a group that has also been partnering with us throughout these last several weeks in these efforts. And it's something that's been sorely missing here in Arkansas. There's been a lot of polling data for the last several years showing at the national level broad-based support for immigration reform, and that's across party lines and ideologies. And we were feeling the same here in Arkansas, and this very much validates what we've long known to be true. And I think, you know, the most impressive number for us is that 87% believe this has to happen now in this year, and we feel the same thing. There are families being affected by this. This is something that real lives are at stake here, and as well as our economy, which in addition to where people and perceptions and general knowledge now that immigration is good, and we've been grateful for the Chamber of Commerce and their recent endorsements. We also have some solid facts there as well, thanks to the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation, and now knowing that for every dollar our state invests in immigrants, it gets $7 in return. So there's a lot of moral and economic sense, and I think Arkansans with that poll are voicing that they get it, and now we're hoping that our elected officials will get it as well. We were excited to see the first press conversation with Senator Pryor, where he said he's inclined to vote yes. Obviously still looking at the bill, and so there are some prospects of robust conversation there with him and his team. Although, unfortunately, this week we did see Senator Bozeman vote against the bill, even moving forward for debate. That was of grave concern to us. And then last Friday, we saw our four congressmen here in Arkansas vote to add an amendment to a security appropriations bill that would deny funding to a program that's been very successful this year, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And that's a program that has specifically benefited our undocumented youth or the so-called Dreamers. And it's very disappointing that that we still have amongst our delegation individuals that are not as in tune yet with the polls. So we hope that these polls will really validate it even for them and hopefully change their mind as some of these votes now turn into tangible opportunities to pass bills and legislation.
Look, we can hardly get 87% of the people in Arkansas to support anything but the Razorback. So I don't know how, if they really care about the citizens' point of view here, that they can ignore these kind of figures. And now I know there's you mentioned deferred action. 291,000 people have been cleared for deferred action. These are obviously young people in the main who are the children of immigrants who've come here under whatever circumstances and were, you know, didn't have any choice. They followed their families. They've lived their lives. And now with deferred action, they have a certain reprieve and have been able to move forward with their lives in the wake of this bill. In Arkansas, of that 291,000, any guess how many people have been able to secure deferred action here?
We do have some good numbers. USCIS, which is the United States Customs and Immigration Services agency, has been monitoring these numbers and sending out on a bimonthly basis updates. So the last figures that we saw was now between 2,500 and 3,000 individuals who have gone ahead and applied here in Arkansas, students that have applied and benefited, which is tremendous, and we're already seeing the impact in the schools and economy. I was even here in Northwest Arkansas last night speaking to a group of Latino youth primarily and hearing how many of them for the first time now were having jobs and becoming strong taxpayers, which we know is only increasing the benefit of immigrants and contributions here. But we know that there's about 9,000. There's about 9,000 estimated dreamers in the state. So
we've got a long way to go.
Exactly. We still have more work to do. Some of it's because of age.
Mm-hmm.
The students are still 1 or 2 years out from applying, but we'll be able to apply, and that's part of the reason that immigration reform becomes so important is because that specific program is not a permanent program. It's just a 2-year program,
right,
where likely we'll see at least that renewed for a couple more years. There's no guarantee what would happen after that. And so it still puts these youth very much in limbo. And I will say that for some of the youth, that is why they are holding off on applying. They want to see what happens with immigration reform. They want to know that they'll be able to, their parents will also be able to stay here, and that this is something broader about the family. So, and then Arkansas also has some of the challenges of just, we have about 40% of our immigrant population that lives in rural communities. So in general, yeah, we're still working on building all the communication systems and information systems we need to make sure that there are broader awareness. But it's a great program. We really think demonstrates the positive effects. The New York Times even released an article this morning,
right,
talking about the general positive effects of this bill, of that specific policy on behalf of the executive office. And so I think it only adds to the argument of why immigration reform is so important.
Well, there can't be any doubt. I mean, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about Arkansans for Jobs and immigration reform. I remember last time, I know it surprised some people, but Archie Schaefer at that point, who was the nephew of Senator Dale Bumpers, was the spokesperson for Tyson Foods, arguing they had to have some kind of immigration reform based on what they needed to get people to work in their plants in Arkansas. I mean, you have people like Tyson's Food and others all of a sudden, and this was not this bill, this was the Bush bill, jumping out. It sort of changes the dynamic. But I haven't heard their voices as clearly this time. But you're in northwestern Arkansas. What are they saying in the Tyson's and Walmart's and the big operators in Arkansas?
Up here, as I would say throughout the state, business is very much behind this. I believe we haven't heard maybe some of their single voices because the Chamber of Commerce has come out collectively together in such a big way this time, really creating umbrella of multiple businesses. But we have been very excited and encouraged by conversations that we've had with members of both of those Walmart as well as the members of the Poultry Federation, and I think have a lot of reason for optimism in terms of the conversations that they're having with our senators. We continue to hear exactly as what you're saying in terms of their acknowledgement of the value of these immigrant workers to our entire state and to our businesses, and obviously wanting to see a system that would both support employers as well as the employees. And I think even over there on the Delta, we've been so excited this time to see how many of our farmers are also stepping up on this issue, recognizing the value of migrant workers. And this bill does a great job of giving priorities to migrant workers and really increasing those number of visas that we know would also help our Arkansas farmers.
Well, and this has been one of the, as you said, any bill is a compromise, and certainly all of us are happy if we see something go forward here, but nobody's going to be as happy as they hoped they would be on either side. And certainly for immigration reformers, there are a lot of things that, people are not in love with. But one of the things that surprised me is here we had an agreement between the Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO, which is part of what was a stumbling block last time under the Bush administration, but they came together and right on this question of how many and what requirements would be issued for visa holders, including some level of prevailing wages and a decent floor wage for farm workers. And instead of it being applauded by one and all, particularly by some of the Republicans in the aisle, they all of a sudden are acting like this was a giveaway to labor, where it's unimaginable the kind of concessions labor had to make in order to come together with this deal. Everybody wants this to happen, yet it seems like our political forces are not keeping up with our economic forces.
That is correct. It is one thing that's very concerning, with especially some of the conversations that we're hearing and arguments that we're hearing out of the Republican Party. It seems to be much more focused on they performed illegal acts, and that's that, are even taking what they feel is sort of a moral high ground above even the economic arguments here in favor of the bill. Now, obviously, that isn't universal. There are a lot of Republicans and, the four specifically that are involved in the Gang of Eight in the Senate, the four that are involved right now in the House and their own Gang of Eight and development of the bill. We know that there are folks that, put economy and families first, as does this bill, but it is concerning that there are folks that really feel, again, that there's some sort of different plane of conversation here that is above the pragmatism that even, again, our business and our churches and everyone else is getting behind this. We've been so proud and excited to see, in addition to business and labor, also some strong support from law enforcement in many places across this country, even here in Arkansas. And again, the faith community has really been tremendous in terms of their support. And I would even add some teachers and other immigrant groups, not just Latinos, but others. But really, we see a coalescing together. So we will hope that there are, and in our conversations and the fact that there are so many of us engaged now in this conversation together, we may be able to persuade and let, again, the pragmatism here and the facts speak for themselves. But we do know that there are, in trying to distinguish the two parties and creating sort of differences, unfortunately some people continue to use this as one of those wedge issues to demonstrate differences, and we just think that that's really unfortunate to throw family members and human beings under the bus in that sort of political polarization.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's hard to describe a 13-year period as a sort of free pass to citizenship, and that's not the only difficult requirement even in this compromise bill, is it, Mariah?
No, that's exactly correct. When we say it's not a perfect bill and it's a tough bill, we definitely mean it. Our enthusiasm, obviously, is seeing something done, and this really gives us a chance to make progress. But we do acknowledge that concessions were made in putting together this bill. Some of our concerns continue to be and will continue to be the whole trigger issue around the border and defining how the border is 90% secure in order to even be able to begin the legalization process. There are a lot of strong arguments and evidence that right now investment in the border in this way is overkill in terms of funds and such, and again, in and of itself is not going to solve the problem. It's the holistic approach, and that's why we value that this bill even exists, and really getting away from some of the reasons that people are coming to this country by adding visas, by allowing for family reunification and things like this. The 13-year process, yes, very much a compromise as well. Even waiting at least a year and a half, multiple, maybe even two or three, just depending before that even the clock begins, that is something that's of concern.
Well, it's not cheap, is it?
And it's not cheap in that either. Although I will say that, yes, for the immigrants in terms of what they have to pay, they're going to be paying multiple fines, and then in that process as well, have to demonstrate that they're holding a job, that they've not become any sort of ward of the state. They can't receive any public benefits in that process, and very much have to maintain good moral standing. No tickets, any sort of series of misdemeanors or things like that would disqualify them. So it's really putting a lot of pressure on them to be able to complete this process and do so. And then putting people 13 years out in terms of voting is something that obviously gives us concern in terms of these are Americans, now aspiring Americans, and we wanted to give them a chance at a vote as well. And another thing I will afraid, and it's just not going to be resolved in this bill, they've already declared that is just extending all these benefits and these opportunities to same-sex couples. And that's just something that is just very unfortunate that this bill is not going to solve this time around.
Well, and I think the difficult problem in any kind of legislation like this is that you make so many compromises. This is from the reform perspective. You make so many compromises to get to this stage, and then you read, the posturing and demagoguery, which is often although the case here, about yet more amendments and more dilution, and you think, oh my goodness, if we've sort of given away the kitchen sink in terms of what would have been a fair bill to get this bill, what in the world might they have in mind next? And something like this 13-year bar is a good indication that in some cases people are only making the most crass political calculations. There's no sort of human rights theme involved in this at all. I mean, they're sort of putting off when they have to deal with the changing demographics, not only in Arkansas, but the rest of the country. It's a difficult process, but the kind of work the coalition is doing and so many others is obviously dedicated that a bill of any kind that moves us forward is something that puts us in a better place, right?
No, that's correct. We do believe it. And where this bill is tough, we do think that it's going to do a lot. And it really has been our best opportunity in well over 30 years since the last time these bills were really considered to really talk about fixing this system. It's by no ways amnesty. It is a well-rounded bill. Again, it's not perfect, but it definitely is something that we think merits support, and that some of these other elements hopefully can be addressed down the road. But we are as committed as anyone else to bipartisan compromise, and so really do hope that our legislators see again and really begin to appreciate and understand that this is for us in Arkansas a real Arkansas issue, a pressing Arkansas issue, and to not continue to delay this opportunity for meaningful reform.
I'm going to ask you in a minute to tell again about the vigil, but right now if our listeners or any Arkansas folks wanted to let their own voice be heard to our congressional delegation or to these two senators who are maybe wobbling. We need to help move them to do the right thing. How, are there petitions out there that you've heard about, or are there ways that they can get their point of view across to our elected representatives?
Yes, very much so, and thank you for asking. Part of the Arkansas Keeping Families Together campaign, we've arranged two toll-free numbers to call our senators. You can even record messages and off business hours, so you shouldn't feel constrained in your civic participation by office hours. And then we also have a petition on moveon.org. The phone numbers, for those that might have a pen readily handy, for Senator Mark Pryor, the number is 866-563-5608. Again, for Senator Mark Pryor, it's 866-563-5608. And for Senator Bozeman, we have 888-473-7735. Again, that's 888-473-7735. And unfortunately, the link is a little long on moveon.org, but if you
Arkansas.
Go to petitions.moveon.org, you can do a search for vote in favor of 744 or even just 744, and our petition should come up. And that one is specifically for Arkansas. It will go on through the end of this month. It is already being delivered in a live real-time basis for our senators by just putting in your basic contact information and pressing send. You automatically are sending this email to both of our senators. And then in addition, we will be printing up the petitions at the end of the month to deliver. We are well on our way. We've received about 300 in just the last few days' signatures. Our goal is 2,000, so we sure would appreciate everyone's support. With that petition, it really only takes 2 seconds of your time, and you've gone a long way to help Arkansas families.
And can people access that petition through your website or Facebook or something like that?
That's correct. Yeah, you can also access it at Facebook through our site. And again, we are Arkansas United Community Coalition. And again, Arkansas United Community Coalition. Do a search for us on Facebook, and you will have several links available to our petition.
So to restate, to let Senator Pryor know how you feel and to do the right thing, that's 866-563-5608. And for Bozeman, it's 888-473-7735. Get in touch with the Arkansas Coalition through their Facebook or website. And before we leave, let's talk about this vigil. We need to see people out there at 7 p.m. tonight to welcome Senator Pryor, I think you said, who's coming back to town. Give us the last pitch there.
Yes, please. If anyone can spare a few minutes this evening, we sure do need to show a broad-based support on immigration reform. We know there's supporters out there, and this gives us a very visual, concrete way with Senator Pryor in town to show our backing on immigration reform. Again, it kicks off at 7 p.m. At the First United Methodist Church, located at 723 Center Street in downtown Little Rock. We will be there until 8:30 at night. It is outside. We do recommend wearing white. If you have that opportunity to do so, and bringing candles. We are going to have some candles available, but would appreciate anyone that is able to bring a candle as well in solidarity. It will be a great opportunity for you to be with other members of the community who also stand by this issue, but more importantly, to hear directly from the voices of immigrants that, as I shared, some of them are facing deportation in 6 days. One week from now. It is very likely that one of the persons that will be speaking at this vigil will no longer be in Arkansas or the United States. And this issue is urgent. It is timely. It is an Arkansas issue, and we sure would appreciate folks coming out and showing their support.
So all of our voices matter, and this is KABF 88.3, the voice of the people. We've been with Maria Rice, the executive director of the Arkansas Coalition, and we've been talking about the importance of immigration reform. The vigil is tonight, as you've heard. The issues are important. This is the best thing we have going for us, and you have a way to let Senator Pryor know your voice and point of view, 866-563-5608, or Senator Bozeman at 888-473-7735. This is Wade Rathke. This has been Wade's World. Half hour of interviews every Friday morning. We'll look forward to seeing you next Friday morning with another great guest. Thank you so much.